Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I am Pete. And today we're going to do something a little different than we've done in the past, a segment that in our pre-meeting meeting, David referred to as Stump the Chump. So what we're going to do is I'm going to take this document, which was published in February. It's the 2026 NFHS Softball Rules Interpretations, one of these documents they put out kind of regularly during the season. And I'm going to read some of these situations. And David is going to see if he can answer them correctly. I guess he would be the chump in his own scenario.
That's right.
Good. As long as I'm not name calling out of turn. Okay. So want to just get right into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's see. All right. I hope I don't lose much credibility here. Might not have much to lose. Who knows?
This is NFHS. So put your high school hat on.
High school. Got my high school hat on. Go.
Situation uno. As the umpires are walking up to the field, Team A's coach is preparing the team's one-way communication device for the game. The umpire notices that the system has 12 receivers that are a watch-like design. The umpire informs the coach that this device cannot be used since it is designed to communicate with multiple players at one time, and NFHS softball rules limit one-way communication to the catcher only. What is the ruling? Is that correct or incorrect? Every one of these is either correct ruling and then incorrect ruling and then rationale.
So I think I'm going to go with correct ruling, but it really depends on how they adjudicate it, right? It's, you can have the system, you just can't have the players wearing the device. So you have to have just one on the catcher itself, themselves. And the fact that I have 11 more in the bag is not a problem. It's just when they go to the field, they can only use the one for the catcher. And so I'm going to go with, it was correct. Ish.
Yeah, so that's funny. So I think you said everything that's in the rationale, but they ruled it differently. They said incorrect ruling because in the situation, the umpire informed the coach that it cannot be used. So I think he meant couldn't be used at all. So because there were 12 receivers that nobody could use it, and this says incorrect ruling. One-way communication to the catcher on defense is legal. There is no restriction on what type of device, so they're focusing on the watch-like nature of it, type of device is utilized, or what device is designed to do or is capable of doing. The rule limits this one-way communication to the catcher only while on defense. Provided that only the catcher wears the receiver and receives one-way communication, and this communication is only while the team is on defense, this would be legal. So that's kind of what you were saying about who cares if 11 of them are in the bag, they just got backups in case she gets whacked with a bat or a ball or something. So yeah,
okay.
I'm going to give you at least 90% credit on that.
I get a 90% credit on that. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, we got it right for the girls, right?
We got the
verbiage wrong for the test. Whoever wrote the test, you didn't write the test the way I answered the question, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Ready to go? Ready to move on?
I accept.
All right. Okay, here we go. Situation two. As Team A takes the field, F1 is seen to be wearing a self-contained body camera attached to her uniform. Since this device is designed to be worn on the body, and does not require operator attention to maintain its operation, the umpire rules that this is legal and allows F1 to wear the device and record during the game. Correct or incorrect?
Incorrect.
And any further rationale?
No, I don't need any rationale. That's wrong. You can't record the game from the field and transmit that
there
game
you go.
Off the field.
Fantastic. You're so good. It's ruling. Incorrect ruling. No player shall transmit or record audio or video from the playing surface. The rule is regardless of what type of device is being used by the player or the amount of monitoring or attention the device requires.
Nailed it. I nailed it with way less words too, by the way.
You did. It's such an economy of words. The most economy. Most economic. Right. Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
Situation three. During the first inning, Team B's catcher is receiving pitch calls via one-way communication from the dugout. The visiting coach brings it to the attention of the umpire that the catcher is then relaying the play call to the pitcher, stating that this violates the rule that only the catcher may receive one-way communication from the dugout. The umpire rules that only the catcher is receiving one-way communication utilizing an electronic device, which is the only limitation of the rule. It is legal for the catcher to then communicate this information to the rest of the defense.
1,000,000% agree. That is a correct ruling. And man, for the catcher's safety, I sure hope that she is allowed to tell the pitcher what pitch she's supposed to throw, right?
Yeah.
You can't say, just throw me something in here and I'll try like heck to catch it, right? You got somebody
bending
the ball.
I'm expecting a curveball, but whatever you throw is fine.
Right.
I hope the listeners at home are, as I read, are coming up with your own play in the game with us. But yes, in this case, David is right. Correct ruling. The only limitation on one-way communication from the dugout is specific to utilizing an electronic device. Only the catcher may use an electronic device to receive the communication, and only while the team is on defense. Once this communication is received, the catcher may then communicate it to the rest of the defense through a verbal call or signal. This is the same kind of thing. It's no different than a coach going, blue 515, and everyone looking at their wristband play system, or, you know, the coach taking their clipboard and going 412 with their fingers, and then the catcher like motioning something to everyone. It's no difference. It's like I said, right. It's the electronic part. And now this makes me wonder, the fact that they needed to include this in the rules interpretations, does this mean some of our brethren were out there in Sistrin? I feel like brethren's inclusive, right? But people were people were out there actually doing it this way, where maybe they were not allowing catchers to communicate what they heard?
I hope not. Man, I really hope not, because it's just in the NFHS world, you only have the catcher with this information, and the catcher needs to be able to communicate to the pitcher. The two of them need to be in lockstep. There's no question about that. And I would even say that the rest of the defense needs to have an understanding as well. I can't even tell you how many times the second baseman on defense, right, is watching the call from the catcher and then giving the call to the outfielders, you know, behind their back to say, hey, mm-hmm. here's where the pitch is going. You know, here's the pitch, you know, look out. It's really, really important information to have. And the fact that it came from the coach in an electronic manner to the catcher should not limit the catcher from telling the rest of the world what's going on.
Yep. Situation 4.
There's more?
Yeah, we got 5 on this one. And plus there's another one. So
see
how we go.
Oh my goodness.
You're doing great so far. So
okay. Don't worry. All right. Let's go.
Situation 4. During the 6th inning of a game, R1 rounds second base and is forced to alter their path to avoid F6, who is waiting on the throw from the outfield. The umpire verbalizes obstruction and signals a delayed dead ball. R1 continues towards third and is thrown out by 3 steps. The umpire then verbalizes and signals dead ball and awards R1 second base. R1's coach contends that R1 should be awarded third base, since that is the base R1 was heading towards when the obstruction occurred. What is the ruling?
So they didn't make a ruling. I don't have to say if it was right or wrong. I have to say what the ruling is on this one.
So it says the umpire, in this one, they didn't say correct ruling or incorrect ruling, but the umpire did make a ruling. The umpire did dead ball and then gave R1 second base.
Placed her at second, and then the coach wanted third. Because that's the one she was heading to. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the umpire did the right thing if second base is the base that he or she had determined that the runner would have reached had the obstruction not happened. And at the time of the play, when the runner was obstructed, if the umpire thought she was obstructed enough that she would have made it to third, had the obstruction not happened and been safe, then he or she would have given her third. But in this case, it seems that the umpire had determined that she would not have made it. And I think that's the 3 steps in the situation, right? It's like thrown out by 3 steps. Well, yeah, she probably wouldn't have made it. So we're not going to call her out, but we're also not going to give her third. We're going to put her at second base.
Yep. So that's what this says is, since R1 had to alter their path due to F6 actions while F6 was not in possession of the ball, nor in the act of making the initial play on a batted ball, obstruction was the proper call. There is no automatic award with obstruction. It is umpire judgment as to what base the runner would have reached had there not been obstruction. When obstruction is ruled, the umpire judges what base the runner would have obtained had there not been obstruction. The, quote, award for obstruction is not designed to award or advance the runner because they were obstructed. It is designed to remove the negative impact that the obstruction had on the runner. It also protects the runner between the two bases where the runner was obstructed, and the runner cannot be put out between these two bases with 6 exceptions. In this situation, when the runner is put out between the two bases where the obstruction occurred, the umpire rules a dead ball and awards the runner the base the runner would have reached had there not been obstruction. In the umpire's judgment in this situation, R1 would have obtained second base had there not been obstruction. So that is the base R1 is awarded.
Way more words. I said that.
Yeah, you did. So good job.
Awesome.
Ready for here
five,
we go.
5.
4 for 4.
Oh man.
Maybe 5 for 5 right now.
Begging.
Here we go. Situation 5. E1 hits a deep base hit that gets past the outfielders, rolling all the way to the fence.
All the way.
Rounding first base, B1 collides with F3 and both players fall to the ground. It takes some time for F3 and B1 to get untangled. And when B1 finally regains their feet and the ball is on its way to second, the umpire rules that although F3 obstructed B1, since B1 did not attempt to advance past first, B1 cannot be advanced past first. So since they did not attempt to advance, they cannot be advanced. That's what I'm saying. Ruling correct or incorrect?
Incorrect. Same explanation as the one before. We've got obstruction here. There's absolutely no question about that. You know, we don't have a defender playing on the ball. We have a runner out there trying to run bases. The runner ran into a fielder not playing on the ball. None of the other six reasons for canceling obstructions have happened in this description here. And so we've got obstruction. It took them a long time to get untangled. Had she gotten up and got, you know, you just have to umpire judgment it and say, had there not been obstruction, would she have reached second base? And I think you're all the way to the fence description, I think, you know, was one of those where it's like, okay, yeah, it seems like they're trying to paint a picture here where had there not been obstruction, she would have attained second base. Whether she tried or not is irrelevant. It is what would she have attained had the obstruction not happened? So it's like the whole Heisenberg uncertainty principle, right? Where like, if this, how do you know what would have happened if she hadn't run into the first baseman? You don't really know, but she was headed that direction until she got in a wrestling match.
Yeah.
So once she got in a wrestling match, she might not have tried again. But before that wrestling match, she was going to two, dude. She might have been going three, depending on what side of the fence, right?
Yep. And so, I wonder if the listeners are going to be like, this is set up and David actually could see the ruling. David did not see this ruling. Here it's incorrect ruling. F3 obstructed at the time of obstruction. I'm going to skim this a little bit because there are some a little bit repetitive, but it obstructed and the umpire must judge in the judgment. But with the ball being past the outfielders and with B1 being knocked down and taking a large amount of time to get up, most umpires would judge that B1 would have obtained second or third. If B1 had excellent speed and the fielders were playing up and there was still a large distance from the ball when B1 was obstructed, the umpires might even judge B1 could have got home. And then the award is this and the award is that and blah, blah, all the things that I just said. So there you go. Cool. Again, I think the important thing there for our brethren is you do not have to have attempted to go on because you're knocked to the ground for a long time. What are you going to stand up and run? Like that's silly. No, just because they went back to first doesn't mean that they would not. Because like you said, I mean, the collision happened because they were going second. They obviously were thinking extra bases. They didn't run to first and stop because they were gassed. Right. So.
Probably not. I hope not. Anyway, I mean, it's not me out there who hit the ball. So, yeah, these are athletes. They shouldn't be gassed at getting a run to first base, for sure.
Yep. So I got another one that's obstruction related, and this one is good. So it's a little different. And
do I get my 5 for 5, then?
5 for 5, buddy.
All right.
Okay. No runners on. B1 hits a shallow fly ball that falls in front of F8, who has possession of the ball about 10 feet behind second. As B1 rounds first, they are obstructed by F3 that is on the edge of the base. The umpire signals delayed dead ball and verbalizes obstruction. As F8 fakes a throw towards first, B1 returns to first. The first base coach, seeing and hearing the obstruction call, tells B1 to go to second. F8 comes to the infield and tags B1 three steps from second. The umpire calls B1 out, ruling that since B1 returned to first, the base they would have reached in the umpire's judgment had there not been obstruction, they are no longer protected between first and second, and they are out and will stay out.
Oh, man, this is going to get me a 5 for 6, I think. So here's my problem. The problem I have is this. Obstruction happened, but the runner wasn't called out yet, right? So the play's not dead. Uh-huh. The runner stopped her advance to second base, so she's no longer trying to advance to second at all, decides to go back to first base and is safe, standing on first base. She's safe, but the ball's still out of the, not in a circle, so we got a live ball.
Yeah. In the outfield, in this case even.
In the outfield, and the coach says, go.
Correct.
Man, I'm calling her out.
Okay. So, yeah, 5 for 6. Incorrect ruling. B1 was obstructed between first and second and cannot be put out between these two bases.
I know she wasn't. She was at first.
But,
all right.
But she hit her as she was, as B1 rounds first base, they are obstructed by F3 on the edge of that base. So they were obstructed between first and second.
Yep.
So they're obstructed between first and second and they can't be put out between these two bases unless one of the six exceptions are met. One of those exceptions is that the obstructed runner, after the obstruction, safely obtains or returns to the base that would have been awarded in the umpire's judgment had there been no obstruction. And there is a subsequent...
6 for 6.
Wait, no. Listen. And there is a subsequent play on a different runner.
Oh, that's bull.
In this situation, the obstructor runner did return safely to the base they would have been awarded had there been no obstruction. However, the second part of the exception was not met, as there was no subsequent play on a different runner. B1 was still protected between first and second due to the obstruction. And when B1 was tagged out, the umpire should have been like, dead ball, first base, what up?
Get your butt back to first. All right, I accept that I missed that one, but I missed that one on a technicality. But I also want to call the coach out.
Because, for doing that?
Yeah, because come on, dude. You know, it's like, don't be silly about the whole thing. Because what he or she are trying to take advantage of there is an umpire like me who doesn't know the rules. Because there's no way that she was going to get awarded second base. In that scenario, right, the ball is 10 feet from second base. There's no way she's going to. There's no way they're going to give her second. There's no way. It's like, just accept your fate and stand here at first base and be done. Otherwise, you're just creating confusion and just being a kind of a, what's it called? The making a mockery of the game or whatever. Oh, there's a rule that says I'm allowed to run here, so I'm going to run. You know, and it's like, nah, that's not the intent of the rule. And you know it, but you took advantage. And yeah. So anyway, okay, I accept 5 for 6, but really close. So
there's another one here about conferences and it's But the third situation on here, on the second document that I'm looking at, so I've now switched. That last one came from the April 1st ruling interpretation document. This one's about DP Flex. I know that's your jam. So,
I'm going to miss that one.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to give you a fastball right down the middle and see if you can catch up to it. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Because, you know, DP Flex questions in audio form only are always so much fun because you got to keep track of a lot of numbers in your head.
There's a lot going on, yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Team A. Irrelevant, is utilizing DP Flex in their lineup. Okay, so it's established. Here we go, DP Flex.
It.
Number 3 is the Flex, and number 6 as B3 and listed as F9. In the 5th inning, the coach informs the plate umpire, I want number 9 to enter, so number 9 is sub 1, to enter and play defense only. The umpire double checks. Okay, so you want number 9 for number 3 in the Flex position? The coach says, no, I want 9 to enter for 6, but I want them to play defense only. The umpire advises the coach that the only player allowed to play defense only is the Flex player, and 9 can legally enter for 6, but 9 must bat when their position in the lineup is reached.
I believe I agree with that, but I'm having trouble keeping up with the numbers. 6 is who in the lineup?
So I'm going to say this. So instead of numbers, I'm going to read it again, but I'm going to just say positions, okay?
Please do.
So you've got a lineup with a Flex, right?
Yep.
And they are, so you've got number 3, Flex, and you've got a right fielder, okay?
Yep.
The 5th inning that comes out and says, I would like my sub to play defense only, to enter and play defense only. And they say,
are they on defense?
The sub's not doing anything.
No, I mean, is the team on defense right now?
Yes.
The team doing the substituting is on defense.
Yeah, it doesn't say, but I'm going to assume yes.
Okay.
Based on the way this goes. They said, okay, so you want your sub to go in for your Flex. And the coach says, no. I want the sub to go to right field and play defense only. The umpire, and replace that two-way player out there, play defense only. The umpire advises the coach, the only player allowed to play defense only is the Flex, and the sub can enter for the right fielder, but they have to bat in that right fielder spot in the lineup.
That is a proper ruling.
Yes. Ruling, correct ruling. The only position in the lineup that can play defense only is Flex. The Flex may bat for the DP, but then the Flex is required to bat and may retain. Oh, wait, hold on. The Flex may bat for the DP, but the Flex is not required to bat and may remain in the 10th position in the lineup playing defense only. All other positions in the lineup must have a player bat in those positions in the lineup.
Yep. All of those things are true. Yep. For sure.
So there we go. So you go 6 for 7. Six, seven.
Oh my God. He just did it on the podcast. That was not David. That was Pete. Just did the whole 6-7 thing. So hey, real quick though, back to that DP Flex thing. I think we've had this covered in an episode before, and I should probably write this down so that I don't mix it up all the time. But we did have one of those situations at a Nationals event where a guy was on defense and he was really mad at his shortstop or second baseman, I don't remember. And he went to the plate umpire and made a formal substitution to put his, I'll mess it up. So anyway, he just made a defensive adjustment, but went to the plate umpire and actually made a change to the lineup to make that defensive change. And the plate umpire didn't stop him, you know, and say, well, you don't need to make a actual lineup change. You just need to make a defensive position change. You're using flex DP, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up turning into a problem for that coach in the next inning, you know, when it was time to bat. And so we have to be careful as umpires to make sure that, and it seems like this umpire did, you know, a decent job. I wouldn't say, and wants to play defense only. I don't know what you're talking about, coach. Would you like to sub? You know, you have substitution rules. And if you have a legal sub and you would like to sub out your right fielder for, you know, your substitute, you may absolutely do that. But when you do that, you know, they're going into this spot in the lineup and that spot has a hitting spot. So, you know, you're saying defense only and I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's almost like they were trying to create two DP flexes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to have like 11 people play the game.
Yeah. You
know, two defensive only and two hitters only.
Yeah. Crazy. Oh, well, that was fun. So, you know, I'm going to take my 5.5 for six or my 5.75 for six or my 6.75 for
six
seven.
6.75 for seven. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, sorry I missed that one. And if you guys can remember now that 10 minutes later, you know which one I missed, let us know. And if you've ever missed it in yours. But what do we have social for today's episode, Pete? I think.
Yeah, so we had some feedback. So this is not social media posts, but this is social interaction. So this is some more feedback. So I guess our Are You That Other Umpire episode, pretty popular. You know, Robert Bannon mentioned is one of the things that he enjoyed when he was on. I know you've gotten some feedback for some in this case, I believe it was a coach that you know. Hit us up with that, with what you're getting from that guy.
Yeah, so I don't know any of the, I'm not going to call out the teams or the coaches, and I don't know the umpires at all. So nobody personally is being called out by this, but there was a situation where, and I actually did see a video of this, the pitcher is rocking back, right? High school game. So they're allowed to step back, rock back, you know, they can do all that fun stuff with their non-pivot foot. And so the pitcher is rocking back. And when they rock forward, they are stepping off the pitcher's plate and 2 inches in front of the pitcher's plate, putting their foot back down again and pushing from there and creating their pitch.
Illegal.
Clearly illegal pitch. There is no question.
Ooh,
there's no
one for one.
Yeah, one for one. Pete's one for one. Good job. Good job, Pete.
I knew all those other ones too. I was 7 for 7 on the.
I know you. I'm sure you were. Absolutely. So next time we're going to stump the chump the other direction. So
yeah,
That'll be fine. I'll have to learn how to read before that. But so anyway, this is clearly illegal. We're not talking about leaping. We're not talking about replanting. We're not talking about anything. We're talking about delivering a pitch from some place that is not the pitcher's plate. This is clearly an illegal pitch. So the coaches posing. Coaches brought this up to the base umpire and said, hey, would you mind watching her? I believe that she is pitching illegally. And this was happening like during the warm-up pitches. And the umpire said, yes, she is illegal, but I'm not going to call it. Don't ask me about it again.
What deuce? What the heck? What?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you are a listener and you actually have said those words, and you like to explain yourself, please do, because that's a no-go, guys. That is a hard stop. Do not ever. There's one thing you can do. You can say, you know, it's really close.
I don't think it's illegal. Right.
I'm
not
sure.
That's where I thought you were going to go, is that the person going to say, it's not illegal because, you know, the pitcher's plate is actually, you know, to the moon. It goes all the way to China going down or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it really isn't every moment between two moments in time. You know, like, holy cow, what the heck?
Right. So you
can't like, I admit, see it's illegal. And you told the coach that it's illegal, but I'm just not going to call it, buddy.
And I'm not calling it. Don't bring it up again. So now my smart ass coach response to that, if I'm coaching, my smart ass coach, I'm getting pitched, by the way.
What other rules are we not enforcing tonight? Buddy?
That's right. I am absolutely getting thrown out of this game. There's no question in my mind that I'm a coach and I'm getting thrown out of this game because I want to know, and I'm going to bring the rule book and I'm going to say, hey, which one, this is going to be awesome, bud. Which one of these rules in this book do I get to break and you're not going to call it? Come on. Tell me. Come on. Help me out. Right. So
how about, okay, she could pitch that way, but we can lead off. How about that?
Yeah. We're going to lead off like baseball. Let's do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So please, guys, don't do that. Don't be that umpire. You know, if you see an illegal pitch, call it. This is touchy. It's touchy, right? If even the stuff that they put out in the OHSAA white book was be careful, right? Make sure that it's an illegal pitch before you call it. Mm-hmm. And so go ahead, dude, be careful about that. But once you've evaluated that you know that pitch is illegal, you have to call it. You have to call it. And you need to call it right now, this time of the season. We're talking about it's April 10th. We still have, you know, 3-4 weeks before sectionals and districts come. They're going to call it there.
Yeah.
They're going to get called in districts.
You my smart aleck Mark was about to be, yeah, they'll call it there where they have real umpires on the field.
Oh, ouch. Ouch, Pete. Jeez. That was Pete, by the way, every listeners.
I don't care. I'll say it to the fool's face.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what was going through that umpire's head at the time. You know, maybe he was having a frustrating day about some other things. You know, we really don't know. But man, be careful. Don't admit that you've seen something illegal and admit that you're not going to enforce the rules. Please don't.
So how would you do that? You know, people, and I know we're definitely going longer than normal here, but we're having a lot of fun. But David, you know, so you mentioned it was brought up during warmups. Would you go over and tell the pitcher during warmups, or would you let the illegal act be the first one, let it happen for the first time in the game, let them get penalized and not give them the advantage of getting a chance to correct something that they may have? You're kind of quote unquote coaching.
Yeah, for me, high school, college, and we talked about this before in our episodes about what level of ball are we calling. And I think we decided on 16U, I think. Maybe it was 14. I don't remember. But anyway, 14U summer ball, maybe 16U summer ball, and high school and college. Nope. We're going to call the rules. You know, and so I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch that first pitch real close. And if she does it again on the first pitch, I'm going to get her right away. 14U, 12U, 10U, 8U. Like, you know, so it's
even
like,
JV game, a high school JV game, you might catch her.
High school JV game, maybe say, hey, make sure you're staying on that pitcher's plate, you know, when you're throwing. Yeah, maybe something like that. Mention it to the coach. Mention it to your partner. If you're doing a JV game and you're the base umpire and you see it, trot in, talk to the plate umpire and say, hey, you might want to talk to the coach. You know, let the coach know that's what's happening, because there's a lot of umpire assigners and clinicians out there that would say, don't ever talk to the girls.
Mm-hmm, right.
You always talk to the coaches. And specifically, if you want them to do something different, that's definitely something you should talk to the coach about. And so, yeah, maybe in some way in those lower things, JV, younger summer games, you know, you might want to do a little bit of coaching along that lines. But no, once you're at 16U and up, you're at nationals, you know, in the summertime, or you're in a high school game, or you're in a college game, you gotta wait on them to actually perform the infraction and then call it. No coaching, right? Coach is somebody else's job.
Exactly.
All right. We definitely went long, Pete, but boy, we did have a lot of fun, didn't we?
We did.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yep. Until next time.